You have a testimony? Really? I did ask you, didn't I? Okay. Try to make it spontaneous.
Sure. Okay. In recent days, I've really been making an effort to wait upon the Lord and give him time to move in my heart. And I know a lot of us do that. We should do that. It makes a huge difference in your outlook. And as a result, a few days ago, it was morning. I was still in bed. I woke up. I said good morning to the Father and good morning to the Lord Jesus. And I said good morning to the Holy Spirit. And then I had a vision. I saw myself as a child, not a little bitty one, maybe 9 or 10 years old. I was kneeling very low on the floor, low, and my head was down. I was like in the shape of a ball or an egg, you know, but it was a person. It was me. And then I saw the Lord Jesus. He was a lot bigger than I was. But he was kneeling on the floor also facing me. And as we knelt there, he reached over with his arms and he drew me up close to himself. And then because he was so much taller than I was, he leaned over my body with his arm. He enfolded me. It was the most amazing sense of security and peace and joy. And I had a lesson that I needed to bring Monday night to some people that I minister to online. And the Lord kept showing me verses that have to do with covering, that have to do with enfolding. And I won't read them all, but the first one I thought of was Psalm 32:7, and these come from various versions. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Another one comes from Romans 8:15, and this is the Passion Version, Passion Translation. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back to the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our inmost being, you are God's beloved child. Psalm 91, verse 1, of course. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And finally, even this doesn't mention enfolding, but I think it's appropriate. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten by God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So I just pray that you will feel enfolded in the days that come. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. I knew it. I was getting ready to call you James. It's just Philip. There's Peter. You had to be James.
How are y'all doing today? I just felt that was awesome singing. I just want to say real quick, when the ladies started, I just felt like a huge breakthrough, I guess. I don't know. It was just a very overwhelming calmness. And I wanted to share a vision. I told Penny and a few other people that I had. I was up here a few weeks ago, I think about a month, And I was just sitting over there praising the Lord, and I just remember this sensation come over me. And in the scripture, Moses sits on top of the mountain, and he's coming down after he had been given the Ten Commandments. And when he had came down, there was the glory on his face, and nobody could look at him because of how bright it was. And I just remember in the vision that I had, I'll just say 2024 was a very challenging year of my life. I had been facing a lot of persecution. I'm going to be a minister, and I feel like that's been part of my testimony, is facing persecution, facing things, people rebelling against me. And anyway, it's been a blessing. I would never want any of it to be taken out of my life. I'm blessed. And the vision that I had, I remember sitting at gravel and just sand, and I saw an angel of the Lord come before me. I could not look at him because the glory around his wings was so bright. I was drawn to repentance, and I was submitted down on my knees. I was like this. I wasn't allowed to look at him, but I saw armor. I saw a shield that he was brandishing, and all I felt, it was like, I don't know if you can describe a word that you can feel, but I knew in my head there was one word that was written around him. It was vindication. And I remember just that prophecy. Somebody else had told me something that really related to that. But the other thing that I noticed, it was, like I said, it was the angel of the Lord, and in the back, I saw the sun going down, and I knew something would happen the next day. What happened the next day, it's beyond me. It was just a blessing to have that vision. But I remember the time that I was sitting there, like I said, I was thinking about this angel of the Lord. My nephew was sitting next to me, and he said, I just want to share with you a scripture that was put on my heart. Remember, as I just said, the glory of the Lord is so bright you can't look at it. He directed me. He said, I want you to look into Psalm 31, and it was these verses particularly, 16 and 18. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. And I'm not going to go into full detail, but when my nephew told me to read that, I just knew that was a confirmation. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. So thank you for letting me open up in front of you.
Good stuff. Thank you. Okay. I've been talking to Jug Jolly lately, and my time to turn around here lately, he's given me a word of encouragement. And through the years, I've known Doug Jolly a long time, and I've had a chance to hear his prophetic utterance many, many times, and I marveled at the accuracy of it. And, you know, the Lord ministers through his personality, and, you know, I've asked him to come share for about 5-10 minutes, something the Lord's put on his heart. I've never heard Doug teach before, so I want to give him an opportunity to share his heart and what God is speaking and saying to him. Amen. A man of favor. Amen. Come on up here, brother. Amen. And you have to talk like this. Not like this.
Right. Ice cream cone. Sometimes it's easy to start with a demonstration. I just met our young friend Peter here, and about everybody in this room knows why the name Peter is special to me, because somebody that's a spiritual father to Ralph and Patty, to Todd on the way to see Peter, and to me is Peter Van Niekerk of South Africa. And I began to speak to Peter and ask him about what's the call of God on his life. And God just began to speak to me. Peter, may I speak to you? Scripture tells us that there's a friend that's closer than a brother. That's this man sitting next to you. And he has some words of wisdom and of discernment to speak into your life. And some of them are going to hurt. Scripture also tells us that faithful are the wounds of a friend. And if you listen and you respond to what God has put on his heart for you, you're going to see some of your prayers answered. And I just want you to know that before the foundation of the earth, it pleased God to envision and create Peter. You've been around that long, brother, with all the gifts and callings of God that he placed within you. He just took a little while before he dropped you into mama. Okay? But the thing about it is who you're coming into and you're walking into a young man is who God has always intended you to be and called you to be. And understand right now, part of who you're called to be is you're going to have an Aaron and a Hur ministry. There's two people in this room, Ralph and Lewis, who have been pastors to me. And I've never felt called to a pastoral ministry. We got a future one here. But the thing about it is that those who were called to lift up the hands of those in pastor, they have an Aaron and a Hur ministry. If you go back, you'll read about when Moses' hands were lifted up and the people of Israel were fighting, the army of Israel was fighting, they were winning. And when his arms went down, they started losing. And so Aaron and Hur came up on both sides of Moses and lifted up his hands. And God is going to use you, first with Alex and then many others, to accomplish his purposes as you come alongside of people in ministry and help them fulfill their ministry and help them accomplish the things that God has called them to do. And as you do that, you're going to get a much greater understanding of the big picture of who God is calling you to do so that the day comes that you can step forth and be the man that God is calling you to do, fully walking in your gifts and the callings of God upon your life, man of God. And I want to recommend a book to both you young men. Called Heart of a Warrior by Michael Thompson. Bill Hammond established, as we understand it in the modern church today, a lot of what we, the restoration of the church, the understanding of the apostolic and its proper role, the understanding of the prophetic. And a book that I would recommend to everybody here is one of his newer books. It's called Your Highest Calling by Bill Hammond. And it talks about the 8 major reasons God created human beings. And it's had a major impact on my life. And here's the sales pitch on it. After you read that book, you're going to have no more why God moments, because you're going to understand after reading that book what the things are. Back in the 1980s, we used to have a joke at the church that Ralph and Patty and I were first at together. We had 5-fold prophets that came in from all over the place. And everybody would joke, Doug is going to get a word. I wonder who else is going to get a word. And over and over and over, I would get the same word from Bill Hammond, from David Schock, from Alan Arrowood, from Leland Davis, from all these different major prophets. And frequently those words were about wealth. Well, if you've ever got a word where God is speaking to you about wealth and you're going through a tough time, God, you know, right now would be a really good time for that word. You know, we can all relate to that. And recently, I've gotten some prophetic words in the prophetic companies I'm online with about millions of dollars. And I go look at my bank account and go, you know? And we're all going to roll our eyes at times with that kind of stuff. And yet, I want to give testimony about what God did on Tuesday. There's a brother over in the Nashville, Tennessee area. who has, as they measure wealth management, assets under management, over $1.5 billion under management. He's placed over $1 billion of, he and his organization, of annuities. And he's one of the biggest in the nation of leveraged life insurance policies, where the bank comes alongside and puts up $10 for every $1 you put up for the purpose of building tax-free retirement. And God gave me and that man a love for each other. And I never really did a whole lot of business with him. His wife, for those of us who are old enough to remember, is Michelle Pilar, the contemporary Christian music artist from the 80s. And I was introduced to somebody new out in Arizona, also a spirit-filled brother, who's also built a billion-dollar business. And I realized that the two of these people needed to get together, that there's a divine appointment. And I was the one to do it. And so I set up a CEO to CEO meeting between two guys who had built billion-dollar businesses. And these are faithful brethren. If they just give me a taste of everything they're doing together, that little bitty taste could be some of that millions as prophesied. But that wasn't my big appointment of the day. Those of you who don't know, my son and I built we were responsible for all online content covering University of South Carolina athletics for Fox Sports for 4 years. And we built that site from nothing to over 5 million hits a month. And so I had an understanding of what's been going on in college athletics, and I still follow it, you know, passionately. And I realized that what the brother in Arizona had put together was perfect for the new financial realities that are happening with athletes. And I set up a meeting with the University of South Carolina and the person in charge of that, and this guy with the billion-dollar idea out in Arizona, and his sidekick. Well, his sidekick was the number one agent in America for 5 years for Charles Schwab, which is the nation's largest brokerage. And then for the next 20 years after those 5 years, he ran the number one agency in America for Charles Schwab. And that's this guy's sidekick. So those two guys are in the meeting with my friend Robert, who introduced me to them, and the guy from South Carolina. And because I set up the meeting, I said, okay, I just get a taste of everything's going on. I'm going to be good. You know, that was my meeting. And the genius guy who put this very complicated thing together, it was just going like that to the guy from the University of South Carolina. So the Charles Schwab guy goes, hey, Kirk's the genius. My job is to bring it down to a fifth grade level. So the guy from South Carolina starts laughing. He says, yeah, man, that's what I need. Wish. He still wasn't getting it. My intent was to be a fly on the wall in that meeting, but I knew exactly what needed to be said at that moment, at that time, and I spoke it. And the guy from South Carolina, the light came on. You could almost see in the Zoom meeting the light bulb going on over his head. And he goes, yes. He said, Doug, can you and I meet? You're obviously local. Can you and I meet together in person? And you can explain all this to me. And then we can get back with the big dogs again. That's the favor of God. And Charles and Kathy and Ralph and Patty were there when they heard those prophetic words about riches and wealth. Always loved Alan Arrowood. Alan Arrowood was this redneck from Florence, South Carolina, but he had a fivefold prophetic anointing on his life. And he said, brother, the Lord's going to make you rich. And he said, now, I don't know what your definition of rich is, but what God's showing me, he said, hey, that's rich. I'll never forget that, you know? And there have been many times I could tell, I joke, Lord, yeah, remember Alan? Yeah, be a good time, God. But I'm seeing right now that God is faithful. Many times when I minister prophetically over somebody who's older, I'll pray and I'll say, Father, thank you. If you took them home today, you would say, well done, good and faithful servant, for all the years. But Lord, you have them there for a purpose today. And Lord, I just pray, even as I spoke with Patty earlier tonight, that God will not take them home until every prophetic word that's been spoken over them that's true is fulfilled, that every call and assignment from the kingdom of heaven is fulfilled. And there was a woman in her 80s who, after being a missionary and a pastor and a founder of a ministry and a staff pastor, at 83, she went, "I'm exhausted." And then God just began to refresh her. And I gave her a prophetic word earlier today, and I had no business giving this prophetic word because I'm sitting in my vehicle in my office parking lot, and there's a guy sitting outside my locked door waiting for an appointment with me. But he was a believer, and I knew he'd understand. I had to be faithful to give the word. And the word that I gave her was that God has given her an understanding in an area that the body needs desperately right now. Everybody here knows that every year, person after person after person who is a pastor leaves the ministry and leaves the pastorate. And God has given her insight in how to open the door for their refreshing, that they're not lost to the kingdom, that they're not lost to their calling, that they can remain in ministry and fulfill that call of God upon their life. And she was going to be the one that God was going to use to teach them everything that they needed to know to remain in ministry. And her testimony immediately after she got through crying was that's exactly what God has laid upon her heart. And so, you know, that's part of the purpose of the prophetic. We all know that the prophetic exhortation, encouragement, man, that's big. You know, that's big. But I wanted to share with you one thing. Earlier this year, I'm affiliated with Christian International, which is Bill Hammond's organization that I mentioned earlier. And the guy who heads up for the Carolinas is down in Charleston. And we had a Zoom call with Bill Hammond, who will be 91 this year. And I spoke to him, and I sit on the Zoom call and during a question and answer session. And I said, "Apostle Bill," I said, you gave me a prophetic word in the 80s, and several other people gave me prophetic words in the 80s. And just recently, one of the guys that Philip and I are in home group with at 12 Springs came up and gave me almost verbatim the same words. So I knew the words were still relevant. But I said, "Bill, how do I bring these incredible words that have been spoken prophetically over me to pass?" And Bill Hammond said, "You have to war for them. You have to war for them." So I know there's a lot of people in here that have received prophetic words, and you haven't seen those words fulfilled yet. And you want to see those words fulfilled. You want to walk in your destiny. You want to walk in the things that God has called you to. You're saying, "God, you put all these things inside of me. Are they ever going to get an opportunity to be let out?" And the Lord says, "Yes. You need to war in the heavenlies and come before me and come into alignment with my purposes and my calls and my gifting in your life, that you can walk in your destiny and walk in the things that I have called you to do," says the Lord. "War for those things that I have promised you until you see them fulfilled," says the Lord. One last thing. If God thinks it's important enough to you, let me back up real quick. One thing that Bill Hammond talks about is how to visualize prophecy. God's making a phone call to Philip. Ring, ring. "Hey, Philip, I want to talk to you. I've got a word for you." But he doesn't do it himself. He does it through his messenger, the prophet. And the prophet's job is to deliver that word accurately to Philip. And that's the right way to look at prophecy. But when God gives you word, when it's important enough for God to pick up and call you out and give you a word. I really appreciate Todd and what he and Lewis have done with the website, that if you're not recording them yourself, you can go back and listen to the prophetic words. And I encourage you, I have a book. Write down the words that God has spoken over you. And then begin to pray over those words. And as God gives you more and more words, Bill Hammond talks about that prophecies are progressive. He's giving you a piece of a vision. And he weaves a wonderful heavenly tapestry together of those prophetic words that he gives you in this season of life, in the next season of life, in the next season of life. And you begin to see the purpose and the pattern that God is weaving in the big picture. And we can't all, you know, it's like eating an elephant. How do you eat it? One bite at a time. You cannot always grasp the big picture God has for you. So he gives you what you can handle at that season, and the next season, the next season. But when you write out your prophecies and you begin to pray over them and you flip page after page after page, God shows you the big picture. But also, going back to my big point of the night, it gives you a place to go war for it. Lord, when you said this to me on February 28th, 1986, when you said this to me on March 3rd of 2016, you said, Lord, I'm reminding you, God, you said this. Lord, I am calling you. Fulfill your word over me, your servant, Lord. Anything in my life that's not alignment with your purposes and your will, Lord, I ask that you would strip it out so that I can fulfill my destiny and the things that you're calling me to. Clean me out, Lord, so that I can be in alignment with what it is that God is calling us to do. The next thing that you do in that book is you document when those prophecies are fulfilled. Patty Walden could write 3 books just right there of what God has fulfilled promises in her life. And there's more to come. But the last thing is what does Scripture tell us? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. Part of the word of our testimony is the words that God loved us so much that when we are in a tough time, God spoke a word of exhortation and a word of encouragement. And there's going to be times when young Peter is feeling like he's about to drown. He's about to be overwhelmed by the things and the circumstances of life. And he's going to reach up and he's going to grasp and say, God, you loved me so much that you spoke that word of exhortation and encouragement over me back in July of 2025. And he's going to get the recording and he's going to write it out, aren't you? And you're going to, he's going to say, Lord, fulfill that word over me. And he's going to look over at Alex and he sees Alex's arms coming down because he's weary and he needs his Aaron, he needs his her to lift up the arms that hang down. And he's going to fulfill that call of God upon his life. He's going to fulfill that call of God upon his life. He's going to be obedient to the call of God upon his life. So thank you guys very much. And Lewis?
All right. Thank you, Doug. Hallelujah. Look at all those notes. You know, the like I said, prophecy is a big thing here, and what Doug just said is so true. You know, you could sit one person here and get 5 prophets and come over here and start prophesying to that one person, and you may get 5 different prophecies. And the reason for that, what I've learned over the years, is no one prophet sees everything. It's not possible. You know, there's so many things that God desires to reveal to us And prophecy is one of those ways that he does. He brings a word to confirm and maybe to redirect, encourage and strengthen a person in their walk. And to hear and let them know that, you know, God is with you and he hears you, sees you. And so I've seen people prophesy over individuals, and I've seen people, a prophet will come to a church and they'll get a word, another word, and a different word. But it's all the different dimensions of that person's life. And I marvel at it at times and how all this absolutely comes together and works. And as you know, in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14, where it says, above all other gifts, desire the gift of prophecy. And you know, I thought about that and I was thinking about the other gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, also in Romans chapter 12. And these gifts that God gives are extraordinary anointings, powers, and abilities for you to do beyond anything you ever thought you could do or affect any way that you ever thought you could affect. And the words that I have personally been given to over the years have come to pass, and some of them have not yet come to pass. Probably because you and I play a part in that. You can get a word, but you still have to, you know, you still have to serve the Lord and follow the Lord and obey the Lord and so forth like that. You can take a word that God gives you and delay it by your own rebellion, by your own stubbornness or whatever, or by your own belief, or whatever.
One of my points on the second page, prophecy is conditional.
Yeah, exactly. And so when I receive a word from someone, I absolutely latch onto it with full agreement. And I say, God, help me to do whatever I need to do to make sure that your will be done in me. And so I marveled at the different anointings and giftings and even flavors of a prophecy, if you will, and seeing what it's done for people and how effective it is. And so it says here, above all other gifts, desire the gift of prophecy. And so when I was a newborn believer, I came across this scripture and I said, well, Lord, I said, it's real important, so I ask you for the gift of prophecy. Now, I want to put a question to you. You, some well-versed people in here, you know what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, probably in 1 Corinthians 14 and so forth. And I've come across to realize that most people, they don't have a clue what their gifting is. And they'll go through life being filled with the Spirit and have great revelation, but really don't have a clue of what their gifting is. Oh, you know, they may have a clue, but they really don't know for sure. And I believe it is God's will for you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, exactly what your gifts are so that you can release them. You with me? So, let me ask you something. Perhaps God is waiting on you to request it. You know, I look at, well, the gift of healing. I never asked God for it. I just always said, boy, I wish I had the gift of healing. And then one day, a little white went off and said, well, why don't you ask the Lord for it? And I said, boy, that's a good idea. So I said, well, Lord, I, you know, your will be done. I desire the gift of healing. If it can operate in my life, you know, it's just something I've started doing. So, as you look into scriptures, and as you look and see the will of God for your life, and how God's called you, and how God wants to equip you, ask and you shall receive. Amen. You know, if you see a gift, and for whatever reason you're drawn to that gift, perhaps that's something the Lord wants you to have, and just ask Him, and see what happens. Amen. Amen. It is good. And Alex, I'm going to tell you what I feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to telling me to tell you. And you'll have to take this and, you know, mesh it through the and so forth in your life. But I really do believe the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you that you have the gift of healing. And the gift of healing will operate in your life so subtly in sometimes, in some ways, but just the gentle laying on of hands, God is going to use you to set people free from all types of maladies, deformities, pain, and it is news to you. And in the days ahead, first of all, you have to bear witness to this word, and I believe others will also confirm this word. I mean, you're still young. Boy, let me tell you, you're young. So there's a whole lot of things, a lot of development that's going to happen and so forth. But God is going to add to your life all the things that you need. He's going to give you understanding of the gifting, how it operates, how it works, and how for you to release it.
I've prayed over some people, and I can't say that I've personally healed or felt like I have that, but I have felt in my heart, say what's on your mind, and it will end up delivering someone. And I don't know if that goes into anything of what you're saying, but I think what I'm feeling is that the deliverance will turn into healing, because the more that I've asked the Lord, give me, Lord, help me realize this power, this gift, and if it's been something like delivering, let that person be healed of their anxiety, the things that arrest them. And just today I was thinking of someone in mind. They were telling me of a neurological disorder. And I was just thinking in my mind, I'm like, wow, like I could just see myself one day placing hands on that person and trying to help them. And it, I don't know.
Well, and you see, and right there, God's bringing it all together to show you exactly the fullness of what it is you're going to walk in. Now, let me say something else about deliverance. If you look at the scriptures, 72% of the people, somebody figured this out, that were healed by deliverance. And generally, you know, where I've quoted the scripture where it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So the gifting that you have, and deliverance is definitely going to be a part of that, is to release those who are oppressed of the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I mentioned Milburn two times. I'm doing it another time. Milburn and I can tell you some stories where we saw people's faces change right before our eyes. We saw them be one way, and then a few minutes later, be totally and completely different, where their face just changed right before our eyes. It's something you'd have to see, sometimes to believe. You just have to take my word for it. Years ago, Lynn and I ministered to a lady that came to our church, and this woman had the hardest look on her face. She looked like a walking rock. And she's from the north and very in your face, tell you like it is, you know, nothing, no mince words about it. She'd just tell you exactly what it is. And she asked us for that. She was this way, and she said, her name's Ray, by the way. She says, you know, I'm hard at times, I'm mean, I'm critical, I don't want to be this way. Is there any help for me? I said, absolutely. So we just laid hands on her, and I rebuked that spirit. And Linda can tell you, if I look like a liar, she's, a lot of people believe her, they don't believe me, but Linda will tell you. I come around people and go, oh, it's you. You're Linda. Oh, it's Linda. Hey, Linda. Hey. And the next thing you know, I'm a nobody. No, another story. I need inner healing. No. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But we pray for this lady. And I want you to know, it's like a sculpture, like the hands of God reached down. And this woman's face changed right before our eyes. And where there was a hardness and like a bitterness, her whole complexion, this woman looked like she's 10 years younger when we were through with her. I mean, when the Spirit of God hit her, and her face just started glowing.
And she was different, totally different from that day forward. She was one of the sweetest, kindest, gentlest people you'd ever want to meet. Great cook, by the way. Loved to go to her house because that woman would cook, and OMG, my goodness, make the best stuffed cabbage rolls you'll ever eat. Try to say that 3 times or 10 times. Stuffed cabbage rolls, stuffed cabbage, tongue twister. He's doing it. And, you know, shrimp salad, I mean, I could go on. And just one of the most precious people to be around. That's what God wants to do in our lives, is to set people free. And let me tell you something. I could go on and on and on and tell you other stories of why how I watch people change right before my eyes. I think I told you this story years ago. You know, Jesus said, the disciples went, and there was this man who, you know, they tried to get him delivered. You know, he had some kind of devil that was afflicting him. And, you know, and Jesus said, you know, bring him to me. How long will I be with you? You know the story. And so Jesus rebuked that demon power, and it left that man and set him free. So later on, they got aside to the Lord and said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast this thing out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And so if you ever get called someplace where they're going to minister deliverance, I suggest you really start praying. Maybe do a little bit of fasting. And prepare yourself. Amen. So years ago, this lady called me up. It was like an emergency. Her son was just mentally wigging out. He was a very young man. I think he was about 18, 19 years old at the time. Very frail looking. And he was at the mental hospital. In fact, I think Melvin and I went and actually ministered to this guy at the mental hospital, I think, as one of the visits. But later on, I was called in. And it was an emergency. She said, he's wigging out. Please, if you can, please come and help him. So I started calling people and asking, look, can you help? Nobody was available. And something in my spirit told me that this is the kind that Jesus was talking about. This kind comes out by prayer and by fasting. And I didn't have time to fast. But I prayed all the way to that meeting because I knew I had to go in there by myself. And I knew that I was going to have my hands full. So I got there. I walked into his bedrooms, and she closed the door, wanted me to minister to him. I started praying for him. And he started praying also, but he started praying in a satanic tongue. It is one of the most creepiest things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I couldn't even repeat these words, but I commanded it to stop in Jesus' name, and it did. And then I turned my back on him a moment. He sprung out of the chair like a leopard and was flying through the air to get me. I promise you, he got this far, and he collapsed right in front of me.
Wow.
And so I began, I tell you what, the anointing of God is a wonderful thing. And when it shows up at the right time, it's really wonderful. And the anointing of God came on me to where I knew that I knew that I knew exactly what I was dealing with and how to deal with it. And I started rebuking this thing. And this vile spirit would speak out and curse me and say all kind of things. I just kept on it. And I said to myself, and I got him to the point where, you know, some things left him, and he was looking, his countenance started looking better. But something was missing. Something was stopping the complete work that God, I believe, the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And so I paused for a moment. I said, Phil, something here in this house is preventing you from being completely free.
Do you have any idea what it is? Well, he says, my father is a professor at one of some school, and he's got a whole library back there on witchcraft, demonics, casting spells. He studies on ancient religions and witchcraft and voodoo and all the other things. Got a whole library full of it. I said, that's it. That's the key. I took absolute authority by the name of Jesus over that, those books and their influence on this kid. And I'm telling you, that kid got gloriously set free where his countenance changed right before my eyes. And then a boldness came on me. And I said, now we're going to address his daddy with this library. I got up, walked out there, walked in that living room. Him and his wife were watching TV. I said, sir, I said, if you love your son, if you care at all about his mental health, his life, you got a library back there. If you love him, you will get rid of those books as quick as possible. He looked at me just with just as much soberness, and he said, I will do that. I will get rid of them. And I will tell you, from that day on, that young man was a different person all the way around. You know, when he went to the doctor, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. They ran all these medical tests, couldn't find a thing wrong with him. So when all else fails, you know, they just think you're crazy, so they send him, you know, to a mental institution for a little while. And, you know the rest of the story. And tell you something, demons don't show up on x-rays. They just don't. You got to discern them. You know, And I had a relative of mine call me up, and the whole side of his body went numb. And he said, you know what? And I talked to Dr. Doug, as a physician was in his church, and he said, well, I don't think you had a stroke. It doesn't sound like you don't have some of the symptoms, because he had no mobility and his speech was good. He just felt numb the whole side of his body. So he called me up and he said, what should I do? You know, I don't know whether I should go to the doctor and check this thing out or what. And I told him, I said, well, brother, let me tell you something. Demons don't show up on x-rays. I said, if there's something physical there, let them check you out and see if it's physical, because I just didn't really feel like it was something spiritual. Sure enough, he had a brain scan, and he had a small rupture in one of the veins in his brain and a stroke. A small stroke at a particular area, and that was the cause of his problem. And he since has recovered 100% after that. So, you know, in trying to decide whether a person just needs some physical healing or whether or not they need deliverance because there's something there that's afflicting this person and is making them infirm, you got to know the difference. Amen?
Amen.
The prophet's leaving, so you'll see you, sir. You got a word for anybody right quick? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be out of here by 8:30. I'm sorry. Things just don't always work out. But I'm about ready to finish up. Okay. But anyway, I'm gonna close with that. That's pretty much as the message that I can get to you. We've seen some wonderful things, and there's wonderful things ahead of us to see. Amen.
Amen.
And Robert and Terry, deliverance is going to be a big part of your ministry in the days ahead. You're just getting started. Amen. So. And God's going to give you the understanding of what is the cause of their affliction, whether it's something that's a demonic entity of some type, or whether or not it's just they're just getting old. Exactly. Or something in the house. That's exactly right. Let me give a couple quick words for some people here before I leave. You have a word for someone. You coming up here, I'll bring the mic to you. Hey,
Linda Reese, the Spirit of the Lord leapt with joy within me when I saw you walk in. May I give you a word? The Lord says, you are my lioness.
Amen.
You are my lioness. But like the childhood story of the lion that had a thorn in its paw, you've been limping around with a wound that has prevented you from walking in the authority of a lioness, from walking fully in your gifting. And the Lord says, I am plucking that thing out. It is my will, says the Lord, for you to be completely and totally healed. Even as the veil was parted on Calvary, the Lord says, I'm going to reveal to you everything you need to know about that wound so that your emotions are healed, your spirit woman is healed, the scars are healed over, and you can begin to walk the walk of the young lioness. The Lord says, I'm going to restore your youth. Even as my word says that I will restore the years that the locust has eaten, the Lord says, there have been years, even as the word over your husband was, where you've been hidden away. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you back forth. I'm bringing you out. And I'm going to cause you to accomplish those things that have been on your heart. The story of the man that was paralyzed, that God reached out, Jesus reached out and touched him. We don't know the rest of his story, but the Lord revealed to me that God used that man and his testimony afterward mightily. And I'm looking forward to meeting him in heaven and hearing the rest of his story. Your husband scares me when he tells me that he remembers every prophetic word he's ever given. But the Lord is giving you an eidetic memory for the things of God so that you can tell people the rest of the story, and you're going to start with your own. But as people tell you what God has done in the rest of their story, you're going to become like the people in Africa before there was written words, where the stories that made all the difference for people's history and their culture were passed on from generation to generation. And you're going to be Linda the storyteller that tells of the mighty works of God and how this one's life was changed, and the rest of her story, and this one's life was changed, and the rest of his story, and this one was a little, when they were a little one, what God did. But look, when they're up like this, what God is doing. And God is going to do the same thing for your son, Jonathan. I just see it almost like a rubber band that's been out of alignment, and he's going to snap things back into place and cause that young man to begin to walk in the full giftings and callings of God that have always been upon his life, says the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
By the way, I sing that song to her all the time.
Linda, I'll handle it. Come out of him.
Linda, I'll handle it. Anyway, Donna, about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, he was sitting right here, and I walked by, and I kind of held this word just for the right time. Nothing real significant, just a word of encouragement. And I saw a beam of light shine on you from heaven, it just instantly. And then I saw a word come right before that light, or right after that light. And by the way, it was an Arial bold font. this is specific words here, saints. And the word that I saw was redemption. And when Jesus was on the cross, his whole purpose there is to redeem us back to God. And the love of God is redemptive love. The love of God buys people back, rescues them. And so I saw this word redemption, and then the Lord showed me the book of Hosea. And Hosea the prophet had a wife named Gomer. And Gomer, what a name for a wife. Don't name your children Gomer, by the way. And she went out into harlotry. And then she eventually sold herself into slavery. And I want you to know something. The mindset of a Jewish man at that time, especially a prophet, was that person should be stoned. But God spoke to him, the prophet Hosea, and he said, go again and love your wife, love that woman, and buy her back from her slavery. So he followed the word of the Lord, and he went, and he purchased the price that his wife sold herself into, and he brought her home, and he restored her to her the place she had before it all committed. And the Lord says he's showing us his redemptive love. In the days ahead, you are the kind of person who really abhors injustice. You've seen injustice. You've seen people being victims of injustice. You've experienced some injustice yourself. You know the pain and the sorrow of it. But there's something extraordinary that God's wanting to give you that through your life is going to be able to release the redemptive love of God and to redeem others and buy them back from their slavery, from whatever they sold themselves into. You will reach out to people. They will sense this unconditional love flowing from you, and it will bring a healing to their heart and their soul, and it will restore a trust in them for their fellow man. Also, people will say to you, Donna, why are you doing that? For this person does not deserve this. And you're going to say, it's exactly why I'm doing it. And I believe that the gift of mercy is resident within you. And at times it has been released and come out, and your compassion and your empathy for other people, the Lord wants you to know it's his redemptive love that he's placed in your heart. It'll be a revelation, an understanding, and you will move by the hand of God, and people's lives will be restored because you got involved in what they were doing. And this anointing and this power will flow through you and through your life. They will even feel the hands of Jesus hugging them and healing their hearts. For the word of the Lord says, Jesus said, and quoted this from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, amen, to preach the good news to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing of that Jesus, of the Lord Jesus in that scripture, is upon you to heal the brokenhearted. Through the redemptive love of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Rob and Patty, I've had this word stewing me for some time now, and I just, you know, for whatever reason, held back. But in these years that you're in now, and, you know, you start getting a little snow on the roof, you start thinking, well, you know, it's time for me just to step aside and let the younger crowd step in and do this, you know, I've done my part. But there's something specific that the Lord wants the two of you to understand. You may already understand this, but there's something specific that God wants you to operate in and understand. And I saw you together, and I said, Lord, what is this I'm seeing? And I saw the blessing of the Lord upon you. Now, this blessing of the Lord is a powerhouse, a storage barn that God has placed all his blessings in you for many people. And what the Lord wants you to do is to be very aware of the people that you meet in the mall or in the marketplace, wherever. And God says, I will single out someone that you don't even know, and I will cause you to go and ask them, may we pray for you right quick? And your prayer, your entire prayer will be to declare the blessing of the Lord on their life. And God will give you the words to speak this blessing. And the Lord is telling me to tell you, after you release that horse out of that barn, it will ride. It will take effect. You can go on. You don't even have to pray for them, because God says, I will begin a fire in their life. Because that anointing of the blessing of the Lord is upon you. It will be released, and it will settle down upon them. And when they go, it will be on them. And it will begin deep in their insides to totally and completely set them free over a period of time. And it will be initiated and it will be started by your laying on of hands, just saying a simple little prayer. Father, we bless Sheila. We bless Ron in the name of Jesus. And we declare your blessing is upon them. You go before them, you follow behind them, and you're right next to them. Amen. I think about the psalmist. What the psalmist said. I think it's Psalm 22. You know, Lord, you have known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You know my going in. You know my coming out. Amen. You know all my ways. And it's that kind of anointing that when you lay hands on them, it's going to be a part to them where they have a meeting. The Holy Spirit's going to start moving and bringing them to that place with him. Amen. And that they're going to know God and he's going to know them. You know me. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I make my bed on the cross of the sea, you're there. Wherever they go, they will feel the hand of God in their life because of the blessing that you release. It's a storehouse that you have. It's just what you are. And the Lord is going to show you in the days ahead. Ponder this word in your heart. Think about it. It's a simple thing, and it's a mission that God's called you to in this season, in this day of time. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything before I close? Philip. I won't call you Philip, but Alex. His name just reminds me of Philip in the Bible.
Philip, I've been kind of just thinking, I've been seeing something stir inside of you, and you've personally taken on the responsibility as my mentor, and I just want to first say thank you. But what's been kind of on my heart that I want to share with you, I remember a few Sundays ago when you had received prayer, your demeanor had changed. And I hope you're okay with me sharing just a few things, and it's going to help me kind of just drag out what's on my plate. But I remember you saying, you know, you had been feeling in a foggy headspace. And what had been coming over me was, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing a yearning. You're wanting to get closer to the Spirit. You're wanting to feel like, it's like you feel like you're not far or you're close to the fire, but you are really close to the fire. And sometimes we can be so close to the fire that we really don't understand that the cinder is touching us, that we have been engulfed in the flame. And part of that is stepping back and realizing, oh, wow, God has been seeing me this entire time. And I say this to you because the word that came to me was the vine. You know, sometimes when we are very close to the Lord, we also feel very separate. And what we don't realize is that sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit by not surrendering and coming to him. And I understand, I've always felt like this sometimes in my chest. If I am not close to the Lord, if I am away from him, it's not him that has left me. He has always been close to me. Does any of this resonate with you, by the way? And I just want to say, the word that comes to mind is, it's two words. It's really, it's grounding yourself, as it says in Ephesians 6. As long as you have the armor of God on, you are able to ground yourself, truly investing your time as a man of God. But the next word that comes to me is, remember that just as you see grapes on a vine and through the season they bear, so too those things will pass, but you will be able to grab on to new fruit that is plush, that is good, that is ready for you to take a bite in, and it will be sweet. And those things that you are holding on to, let go of it, because it's just dead fruit. He wants you to grab onto new fruit and to start to feel him again in new ways, because that is the chapter of your life that he is bringing you into. It's not holding you back. He doesn't ever want you to go back. He wants you to go forward into a new chapter right now. So I just really felt compelled to share that with you.
Amen, amen. Well, that's so nice to get something from someone you're mentoring. You know, just clarify quickly. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You are a man who has tasted of the table of the food of God, and you've never been the same. And this, that taste, it drives you on. You want to be in his presence. You meditate on the word midday and night. There's precious scriptures that are part of you. And I feel like it's already happening, but in the days ahead, more and more, you're going to lead other people to the table of the Lord. You just have that anointing on you to, like, bring young people in. Bring them in. And they're going to sit at the master's table, and they're going to taste what you tasted. And then they're never going to be the same again. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Testimony real fast. Our bedroom for a couple of years has been so cluttered, it's ridiculous, because of clothes and shoes and junk, just junk. And I've said, I'm going to do this, but I've got a little bad back, so bending over has been a problem. And the other day I said, I've just had it. So I decided to start cleaning, and it took me a week. I got rid of so much stuff. Our bedroom looks wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But during this time, when we moved in the house we're in, I had lost a ring, a necklace my mother had given me, which was gold and pearls, and something she had made me was a hammered, like a solid little sheet of gold with my initial in it, and a sterling bracelet. Now, all these were my favorite pieces. And it's often I said, I'm not going to find them. I've left them at a hotel. I've lost it somewhere. So I did my room, cleaned up everything. And one of my favorite scripture verses is, everything that's hidden will be revealed. I've been proclaiming that for years over my family, over different things. So this morning, I went in our bedroom. I was working in the closet. And I have this box of old CDs and old DVDs. I thought, this is going in the trash. So I lifted it, and I heard this little dink. I thought, what in the world? And I looked in there, and there's my ring. Now, my ring is in a box that you would never put a ring in. It had junk in it, CDs and DVDs. So I found my ring. And I told Ralph, I said, you want to see something beautiful? Showed him. He was thrilled. This probably doesn't seem like a really big testimony, but for me, it's huge. So then I go into our closet, and I look, and I see this bag of trash, and it's filled to the top. It's got receipts in it, and I know it's from businesses we've done. And so I'm going in, and everything, I'm thinking, I'm just going to trash this. And I had done 15 minutes of looking at these receipts and putting them in the trash. So I went to lift the thing up. I thought, what in the world is that? And I looked in the bottom, and there was some jewelry and stuff. So anyway, in this bag of trash, which only the Lord knows, I never would have put this jewelry in there, is my gold necklace with the pearls and the gold necklace that was hammered. It's in there. And So I told Ralph, I said, my gosh, God has put these things places because I was obedient in doing what he's been telling me to do by getting our room squared away. So then I look in the closet and I see this old jewelry box, and it had been pushed way to the side, and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that jewelry box is in there. And so we opened it up and saw some stuff and opened up the last one, and my silver bracelet's in there. Oh. And I honestly feel like it had to do with being obedient. It's like God said, but for my ring, my favorite ring, And I'm thinking, I'm never going to see it. I'm never going to see that jewelry. I can't believe I've lost this. And there it is.
Hallelujah. And that means you can eat for the rest of the year. Hallelujah. You know, my wife and I went to Florence, Italy a few years ago. And I bought her a gold ring there. It was a white and yellow, beautiful ring. And I lost it. I did. And she's never let me forget it. So I need to start praying that prayer. I need that scripture. Anyway, it was $400, and that was back 30 years ago, and today's money. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, if there's a ring that was found last week. It's a gold ring, and it's got a, I think it's got an S on it, or it might be a dollar sign for all I know. See, if anybody knows anybody who's lost a ring. Yeah, it was over here on this side. So anyway, if you hear anybody that's missing a ring, it's right here in our possession. Actually, Terry's going to keep possession over it.
Put it in there where the Bible was.
And I don't know about you, but all of a sudden I don't want to go. It has been. Let's see. How long is it going to take? Okay, come on.
When you were telling that story right there, the Lord started speaking to me about it, and the Lord, and it's nothing about it, but there's treasures that's in your life that y'all covered up, and the Lord allowing you to uncover those things again in your life. And Lord, I just right now just reveal it, breathe on it, bring it to pass. It wasn't by accident. You had to hunt for it. Keep hunting.
Amen. Good Lord. Amen. Wow. Anybody else got a prophetic word or of encouragement? Ah, it's a wonderful presence here.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Your Father, God. Thank you, Lord. All right. If you need prayer, there'll be some people here that know how to pray for you. If you need a healing, whatever the reason, please stay and come up and let us pray for you, okay? Amen. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for this time. This is a time that was well spent. Time we can't get back, but it's a time that will go with us in memories of the mighty deeds that you did in our midst, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for every person here that they, God, are find the things that were lost. That there be a restoration in every life here, Lord God. In relationships, Lord. Father, in friendships, God, whatever, Lord, let there be restoration in this day. As the word Lord was, God, a redemption, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I bless every person here. I thank you, Lord, that you go with them, Lord, and you are ordering their steps. And I thank you, Lord God, for joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you.
Let me get over here and put some music on.
I am the sound man.